Harper Audio presents False Prophet by Faye Kellerman. Performed by Mitch Greenberg. Chapter 1. Working off duty meant doing the same job without pay. But since the call's location was only 12 blocks away, and the case would wind up in his detail anyway, Decker figured he might as well jump the uniforms, cordon off the scene before the Blues could trample evidence, making his on-duty tasks that much easier. He unhooked the mic, answered the radio transmitting officer, and turned on the computer screen in the unmarked Plymouth. A few moments later, green LCD lines snaked across the monitor. A female assault victim, suspected sexual trauma, no given name or age. The party reporting had been female and Spanish-speaking. The victim had been found by the PR in a ransacked bedroom. Paramedics had been called down. Decker made a sharp right turn and headed for the address. The interior of the Plymouth was rich with the aroma of newly baked breads. A corn rye loaded with caraway seeds, two crisp onion boards, a dozen poppy-seeded Kaiser and crescent rolls, and assorted Danishes. Goodies just pulled from the oven, so hot the bakery lady didn't dare put them in plastic. They sat in open, white, wax-lined bags, exhaling their yeasty breath, making his mouth water. Fresh bakery treats seemed to be Rena's only craving during the pregnancy, and Decker didn't mind indulging her. The nearest kosher bakery was a 12-mile round trip of peace and quiet. He enjoyed the early morning stillness, cruising the stretch of open freeway, witnessing the fireworks on the eastern horizon. He reveled in the 40 minutes of solitude and resented the intrusion of the call, the location so close he couldn't ignore it, his mind forced to snap into work mode. He turned left onto Valley Canyon Drive, the roadside cutting through wide-open areas of ranchland. In the distance was the renowned Valley Canyon Spa Resort, a two-story pink stucco monolith carved into the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains. It looked like a giant boil on the sandy-colored face of the rocks. The guys in the squad room had shortened the spa's name to Val-Can, which in turn had been bastardized to Vulcan. The running joke was that Vulcan's clientele were secret relatives of Mr. Spock, beamed down to get ear jobs. Vulcan had hosted more stars than the sidewalks of Hollywood Boulevard, its facilities among the most exclusive in the United States. That, and the fact that the place was run by Davida Eversong's daughter, made it a national draw for rich, anorexic women, wanting to exercise themselves skeletal. Davida Eversong was one of those self-proclaimed grande dames of old Hollywood. Scuttlebutt had it that she had burrowed herself into a bungalow on the spa's acreage. Once Decker had spotted her at a local mom-and-pop market. Her features had been hidden by sunglasses and a black turban that wrapped around her cheeks and tied under her chin. It had been her get-up that had attracted his attention. Who dressed like that at night, except someone wanting to be noticed? But only he had given her a second glance. To the rest of the shoppers, she had just been another L.A. eccentric. Decker was barely old enough to remember the latter part of her long film career. The last three or four movies where she'd been thrown some bones, courtesy parts. Then came the talk show circuit, promoting the autobiography. The book had been a bestseller. That had been about 15 years ago, and nothing public since. Still, the name Eversong conjured up images of studio movie queens and Hollywood glamour. Eversong's daughter was certainly not inhibited about using the connection. Maybe she was genuinely proud of Mama. Or maybe it just made good business sense. Scoring the base of the spa's mountain was a single file of multicolored sweatsuits, the ladies coming back from their morning aerobic hike. From Decker's perspective, they looked like day-glow ants encircling a giant hill. He reached
Sample complete. Ready to continue?